analyst Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee. We're going from Genesis to Revelation in chronological order. And so it's a lot of fun. We're learning things that most people didn't know were in the Bible, because if you're not read your Bible, there are a lot of stories you never heard. I mean, there's so many stories. It's incredible. And, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus said, if everything that he had done had been written in the book, there are not enough books on the planet to hold all the things that he did during his 3.5 years of ministry. There's a lot that God did, God says, but what he did, he recorded what he wanted us to read in a book called the Bible. There's just volume one. Volume two is not coming out. And so we're going through the stories about these are the children of Israel. They've left Egypt. They're trying to get to the promised land. They rebel. They're coming out of the wilderness again. And so it's a great story. So we're in Numbers chapter 22, and we're talking the story about Balaam. The heathen king came to Balaam because they know that he hears God. He talks for God. And the heathen king tried to get Balaam to curse his own people. And so he prayed about it. God says, no, you can't do it. I'm with him. And he told the king, no, I can't do it. Well, he sent messengers again. No, Balaam, we'll give you more money. We'll give you whatever you want, man. Name your price. We'll do anything you want. And so, you know, he's trying to do it for them. So in the process, Balaam's own donkey sees an angel blocking the way. And so Balaam doesn't see it. His donkey sees it. Three times his donkey sees the angel. Balaam doesn't see it, but his donkey. So his donkey just stopped. And the donkey, he wouldn't go, and he pinned Balaam up against the wall and crushed his foot. And Balaam's taking a stab, and he's beating the donkey, and he's beating it. Three times he beat that donkey. Finally, God gave the donkey a human voice. And the donkey spoke to Balaam. Why'd you beat me with a rod? Balaam's so mad, he doesn't realize it's the donkey talking to him. So why did you beat me with a rod? And finally he realizes, oh, man, God's talking to me. And he realizes God spared him. And so he starts to pray. And what am I going to do? He said, well, go with him. I'm going to do something. You go with him. So this is, if you got your Bible, it's in Numbers chapter 22, around verse 36. And here we're picking up the story. When King Balak heard Balaam was coming, he rushed to meet him. Why didn't you come sooner? The king asked. Don't you know what I'm able to do? I'm able to honor you and make you wealthy. Balaam answered, well, I cannot promise to help you, even though I have come. I can only speak the words that God gives me. Perhaps King Balak thought the wise man was trying to get more money from him. He didn't understand that Balaam could not speak against the people in the name of the Lord if God did not approve it. So as an idol worshiper, King Balak did not understand about the one true God. Well, the next day, King Balak took Balaam to the top of a mountain. There he looked down on the plain where the Israelites had camped. Balaam told the king to build 7 altars to offer to the Lord, an ox and a sheep on each altar. Then Balaam went further up the mountain to talk to the Lord, and the Lord told Balaam what to say to the king. Balaam returned to the king and the prince, and he said, how can I say anything against this people when God does not? And Balaam blessed the Israelites and told how great they would become. King Balak demanded, what have you done to me? I didn't want you to bless these people. I wanted you to speak evil of them. Balaam reminded the king, I must say what the Lord puts in my mouth. You know, I can't go against God. I got to do what he tells me. The king thought, well, I'll try again. He doesn't understand. I got so much money. I'll try again. So he took Balaam up to another place where he could see a part of the Israelite camp. Here again, he built 7 altars and offered sheep and oxen to the Lord. After Balaam spoke to the Lord again, he told the king, what the Lord has promised, he will do. He commanded me to bless the Israelites. I cannot change it. God brought them out of Egypt and made them strong. Now the king said, Balaam, if you can't say evil of them, don't say anything at all. Still, the king thought he could change Balaam's mind. So he took a third place, took him and built another altar, offered sacrifices. Now Balaam knew it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. He said, how good are your tents, O Israel? Your land will be rich. It will be beautiful. Your king will be great. Your kingdom will be exalted. How angry King Balak was. He said, listen, I had planned to give you riches and honor, but your God has kept them from you. Now get away from here as fast as you can. So although Balaam had spoken only the words of the Lord, yet in his heart, he wished he could have pleased the king because he was a clever man. He thought of another way to help Balak. Listen, if they get the Israelites to worship idols, then God would not be with them. And that's what they did. The Moabites, the Midianites made friends with the Israelites. Soon the young men of Israel married the young women from Moab and the young women from Midian. Since the Moabites, the Midianites worship idols, these young women took their husbands from the heathens, and they went to the feast of their gods. In this way, many Israelites bowed down to idols. God could not have his people worshiping idols. At Moses' command, all those who had sinned in this way were killed. They don't put this in a movie. Nobody go to it. The Israelites were victorious over the Moabites. They were victorious over the Midianites in the Battle of Balak. He was killed because he had caused the children of Israel to sin. In Numbers 32, this time, the Israelites lived in the land they had taken from their enemies. What happened? Well, they were just wanting to pass through. We don't want your land. We won't drink your water. We're just wanting to pass through. But because they wouldn't let them, and not only would they not let them, they opposed them with their armies. The Israelites killed every one of them and took their houses, took their land, took their cattle, took their sheep. I didn't want your land. I didn't want your cattle. I didn't want your sheep. I'm just trying to pass through. But if you oppose me, you're opposing God. God will not be pleased. So the land was good for pasture. And the Israelites, especially the tribes of Reuben and Gad, had many cattle and many sheep. These tribes liked the rich pasture lands of the country east of the Jordan so well that they said to Moses, if it's all right with you, let us have this land for ours instead of going over to Canaan. Moses asked, well, would you want your relatives to go to war and take Canaan while you stayed here? The people would be very discouraged if they knew that you were not going to help them take the land of Canaan. Then the two tribes promised, Moses, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our families. Then we'll go with you and we'll help you take the land of Canaan. We will not return home until Canaan is yours. When Moses heard this, he agreed. The children of Gad and Reuben, the half the tribe of Manasseh, he would give land that belonged to Shion, the king of the Ammonites, and to Og, the king of Bashan. And these tribes settled in the cities east of the Jordan. And they built folds for their sheep, and they planned to make this great country their home. You know, God's for everybody. Now, in Numbers 27, Moses was now getting old. He's an old man. He knows he's about to die. He wanted to be sure that the people would have another leader. So Moses asked the Lord, choose a man to lead the people so they won't be like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord answered, take Joshua, a man who's filled with the Spirit. Lay your hands on him before all the people and bring him to Eleazar. Tell Joshua and the people what to do. Give Joshua some of your honor so all the children of Israel will obey him. Moses did all the Lord commanded. And the people understood that Joshua would take his place and Moses or take Moses' place as their leader. Again, Moses called the people together. He told them many things they needed to know before they went to Canaan to live. He wrote all these words in a book called Deuteronomy. Where did Deuteronomy come from? It was a speech that Moses gave the children of Israel before they crossed into the promised land. It's a great book. Finally, Moses said, look, I'm 120 years old. I'm not able to lead you any longer. Remember that Joshua will lead you into Canaan, and the Lord will be with you. Canaan will be yours. Be strong. Go with good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. As the people listened, they knew Moses was about to leave them forever. How faithful he had been. He had loved them as a father loves his children. He'd been their leader for a long, long time. When Moses finished his long farewell message to the people, he walked out of the camp. As he went, the people watched him with tears in their eyes. When he got to Mount Nebo, he began to climb up and up. At last, the people could see him no longer. On the top of the mountain, Moses looked into the land of Canaan. Man, what a magnificent country it was. Moses looked across the wooded hills and the green valleys. He knew the people would soon be living in the land of God that God had promised him. Here Moses died. God buried him somewhere in the plain. Moses is one of the greatest men who ever lived. He was the only person who ever talked to God face to face. For 30 days, the Israelites mourn the death of Moses. So we're coming to this place. We're getting ready to cross over. And so Moses hands it off to Joshua. So here we go. We waited 400 years to go into this land. We tried 40 years earlier, but we'd sin and we complained. God wouldn't let them go. He said, I'll take your children in. So the children are 40 years older. He brings them back. And so we're in Joshua chapter 1. We're about to go in. The thing is about to get real exciting. So across the Jordan River, several miles from the Israelites' camp, was Jericho. A high wall had been built around the city to keep enemies out. There was a gate in the wall through which people could come and go. The people of Jericho were afraid because the Israelites camped near the Jordan River. They'd been hearing about the Israelites for a long time, knew how God had led Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They heard how God helped the Israelites fight their enemies. What if Israel should cross the Jordan and take Jericho? The people of Jericho trembled at the very thought. After Moses died, God told Joshua, take the people across the Jordan to the land I've given them. Everywhere they go, that land will be theirs. Be strong and of a good courage, for I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Man, that's a good word to get before you go into some new business, a new job, a new place, move to a new town. Then Joshua told his officers, go through the camp. Tell the people to get ready. For in 3 days, we will cross the Jordan. In 3 days, we will possess the land. The people gathered their belongings, prepared food for the march. The men of the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh got ready to go with their kinsmen. While the Israelites broke camp, Joshua sent 2 men across the river to learn all they could about the city of Jericho. Because Jericho was so large, Joshua believed they needed to capture it before going further into Canaan. When the 2 spies came to Jericho, they found the gate open. So they just walked in. They came to a house on the wall that belonged to a woman named Rahab. So Rahab, they talked to her, and someone hurried along, and she invited in. And so this is a unique conversation. He said, 2 men saw him, and they went and told the king, 2 men from the Israelite camp have come to spy on the land tonight. The king knew he dared not let the spies go back to their camp. At once, he sent officers to Rahab's house to capture the spies. The officers told Rahab, bring us the spies that are in your house. When she did not obey them, they searched her house, but they couldn't find the spies. Rahab had hidden the Israelites in the stalks of flax on the roof. She said to the officers, I told you, the men went out the gate just before dark. If you hurry, you can overtake them. Out of the gate, the officers ran. They must capture the 2 spies. The gates were locked as soon as the officers were gone. Now the spies could not get out of Jericho and could not return to the camp. Rahab told them, listen, I know the Lord has given you the land. I know we cannot win against you. I've heard of all the wonders that God has done for you, and we are afraid. The Lord God is with you. And as the spies listened, they decided it would be easy to take Jericho because the people were so afraid of them. But how could they get back to the camp and tell Joshua? Rahab said, listen, promise me that when you come back to take the city, you will save me and my family. The men promised. So she hung a red cord in her window, and later her family would be saved. Rahab took the window, opened it with the wall, said, hide in the mountains for 3 days before you return to camp. Then the officers will not find you. So with a strong rope, she let the men down and walk outside the city. As soon as they were gone, she tied a red cord in her window. After 3 days, the spies returned safely to Joshua. They told all that had happened. How glad they were when Joshua heard all the spies say, surely God has given us that beautiful country, for the people are afraid of us. They think that they're too weak to fight against us. It's like, isn't that good news to kind of hear, you know? And so Joshua chapter 3, early in the morning, the Israelite camp, the people were ready and waiting to start this march into the promised land. Joshua now was the new leader. He's a brave guy. He's got stuff going on, and we're ready to go. We waited years and years and years, and so they're ready to go. It's going to be one great beginning of a great story. So thank you guys for listening. God's got good things in his word. The Bible says when you read the word of God, it builds something called faith. Hebrews 11 says that without faith, we cannot please God. First Peter says without faith, we cannot resist the devil. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing the Bible builds faith. And that's what we're doing. When you hear these stories, even in a children's Bible storybook, it's still the Word of God. It'll build faith. You realize, well, if God did it for them, He's no respecter of person. He'll do it for me. We can say, yes, He will. So be blessed, Word of God. God bless. We'll see you next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.